Thank you, Bradford. It's such a perfect choice. Perfect choice. So I'm going to make you all work today. So if you don't have one of these pieces of paper and either a pen or a pencil, please raise your hand. All right. We got a whole crew here who needs some clothes. So Clyde is hurrying into work to hand those out while we get ready to begin. So my name is Sue Witter. I'm one of the practitioners here, and Reverend Karen is always kind enough to give me this day, because this is my favorite day of the year. Happy New Year to everyone. I love the fact that this is a time of year where it has been dark. We've gone within. We've looked at what do we want to give birth to in this new year, and now we start rocking it out. Now we say, I've thought about what I want to give birth to this year, but now we're going to claim it. So my rotation usually goes a white stone ceremony, a word stone ceremony, and then something else. This is the something else year. So as you heard, I'm teaching a class called Keys to the Kingdom. I have been sort of plagued in my prayers and meditations with keys since about August. And so it's not surprising that that when Karen and I sat down and we're talking about the fact that I haven't taught in a long time and I'm finally ready to start again, that I would love to teach the class called The Keys of the Kingdom, which kind of had to be because it's just been showing up everywhere in my life. So, The Keys of the Kingdom is a program. It's a prosperity and abundance program. It's actually my favorite one. It's an oldie. It is done by a man named David Owen Ritz, who is, I believe, a Unity minister in Sarasota, Florida. And this series was his last series of talks before he left that church. So he's very funny because he talks a lot about the fact that, hey, you guys, I'm not teaching this for, you know, because I'm going to get any benefit, because I've already turned the church over to Judy or Joan or whatever her name was. But he talks about the seven keys to the kingdom. And seven's an interesting number. There are so many things about it. It's the statistical number of completion. And there's a lot of sevens. It's like when I did a Google search just because I could. There's something like 680 plus references to seven sevenths. You know, it's a relatively heavily used seven. There are seven deadly sins. There are seven archangels. There are seven chakras. There are 7 days in a week. There are seven spirits of heaven or levels of heaven. But I really believe that it is because it's that number of completion. So David Owen Ritz has a lovely, I'm going to reference him a lot today. So he has a lovely way of describing the kingdom, because the keys to the kingdom is also very often talked about in the Bible. And he describes the kingdom really as just pure, unlimited possibility and potential. So what we're doing is we're unlocking that pure potential in our life. And for me, that's very exciting. So it's about the law of circulation, and it's done unto you as you believe. That's right. So one thing I have to say about as we go through this process of looking, it's done unto you as you believe. Thomas Troward, I believe is probably the correct pronunciation, had a quote that changed my life in the Edinburgh lectures. He says, in short, we may say that the cosmic intelligence works by a law of averages, which allows a wide margin of accident and failure to the individual. And he goes on and says, as intelligence advances, the individual ceases to be subject to mere law of averages and has continually increasing power of controlling the conditions of his survival.
Amen.
Amen to that. And then he says, the evolution which has brought us up to this standpoint has worked by this cosmic law of averages, but it has been a process in which the individual himself has not taken conscious part.
Amen.
So that's the choice here, conscious part. Because if we don't make conscious choices, then we are buffeted indeed around by whatever is happening out there. So that's what I'm going to be talking a lot about in the class as well. It's about making a conscious, wide awake, aware choice. And to not look at the choices that you've made thus far as meaning you're bad, but rather to say, I could make a choice that would serve me better today. That's what I love about this philosophy. You can look at your life and it can look in a way that you go, that'll translate well on tape, won't it, that face? But it doesn't matter, because we are always, in every single solitary moment, free to make a new choice. And the universe always says yes. So we're going to talk about how to do some of that. So you know me, I have to go to the dictionary first. Abundant is actually a state of being when you look at the definition. It's existing or occurring in large amounts, marked by great plenty and amply supplied. Being prosperous is, by definition, a little more about having. Succeed in material terms and to be financially successful, to do well, succeed, thrive, flourish physically, grow strong and healthy, make successful, and in Hebrew it literally means to push forward, to pass through, to get on. It carries the idea of being able to thrive at the choices that we make. So to be looking at this process of abundance and prosperity, it allows us to do what David Owen Ritz defines for abundance as, true abundance is the power to satisfy our needs and to make our dreams come true. So for me, abundance is indeed about that, but it's primarily about your relationship with the divine, however you choose to perceive that. God, universe, spirit, however you describe it, it's that indwelling wisdom that is in all of us. It is that wisdom that is all around us. It is that which connects us. It is that which allows us to see our common humanity. So I'll be talking a lot today about how is your relationship with God in every single area of your life. Because most of us, we can say, I rock this area of my life, pretty good at it. Things that manifest work, I like them. Others we go, eh. And then there are some where we go, damn, I don't even want to talk about this one. This is the opportunity to make the good ones better and to look at the ones that don't work and say, am I willing to see this differently? I love that whole concept. Am I willing to see this differently? So it's about looking at what you believe about life, about God. Is the universe good or bad? Are we worthy of love and belonging? I believe we all are, because we are made in the image and likeness. We are all worthy of love and belonging, regardless of what we have done or not done. And here's a really big question for you. Do you believe you're worthy of more? Some of us, again, in some areas, we can go, I can rock this one and say yes. Some, and then others, not so much. So this is about really up-leveling that, because abundance is a way of being. It's the consciousness of the awareness that we live in the flow. Again, always lifting up our conscious to a wide awake and aware choice. And sadly, we often reject that notion. We don't let it come to the forefront. But in nature, nature is abundant. Weeds can grow through cement. They can grow in the desert, in caliche soil that if you bring your landscaper in to dig it up, almost needs dynamite, right? It is. This is Arizona. I mean, the earth is hard, especially in the summer. But nature is abundant, and it persists no matter what. I think about in Northern California, there are some famous pictures on the coast highway going down, there's a famous tree that's kind of hanging off the edge of a cliff, and yet it grows. Yeah, it grows. And we have at our very nature that same capacity. It's just a question of believing it and owning it. We don't need to worry about our good, about the source of our good. Everything, God is the source of it all. So really, it's about that personal potential in all of us. Now, if I grew up being told about my potential a lot, And usually it was that I wasn't living up to it. This is a different kind of potential. This is the kind of potential that's just in our chest and our gut, and it's just pulling us forward. You guys know what that feeling is like? Where there are just times when you just can't not. It just tugs at you. And for me, I know that it's usually probably God's idea, because this is how a lot of my prayers go. Seriously, God? Are you kidding me? This is what we have before us? But if it's up to me, I'll go, yeah, I can manage that. I can do that. It, God, that pure potential that's being called out of us is that thing which is greater than we can even imagine. So are you ready to have a year filled with greater than you can even imagine, to have that pure potential just brought forth and pulled out in a way that's loving and kind? Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I always say, when I'm up against something and I'm working on something that's a little challenging for me, I think I've told the story about, I was in my very first Science of Mind class. It was a 30-week class back then. And we set intentions for all kinds of things. And so I said, I need a new car. And I said, I need a new car. And my brain went, if you looked at the bank balance lately, not happening. I want a new car. I can have a new car. New car is mine. I got one. I totaled the one I was driving. Not the highest choice. It got it. So what I learned is, especially if it's something that I'm pushing up against, if I am stretching out my comfort zone a little bit, I say, and it comes to me in a happy, healthy way. Yeah. Right? And so for me, as I do my work at the beginning of the year, it's always with everyone, and all of this comes to me with grace and ease and in a happy, healthy way. So the Bible has a lot of stuff about abundance, and some of us have beat ourselves up with it. And some of us have had ministers who beat us up with it, or educators. In my case, because I went to a Lutheran school, a very conservative Lutheran school, for 6 years. So there are a handful of places, and I'm going to read you from a couple of different versions, just some sections. Proverbs 3, and he says, my son, don't forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on a tablet for your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and always be with him. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then the barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. So that's one of the scriptures that's used when they start to talk about tithing and they get a little rigid about how that should look. I absolutely believe in it. I do it. And some people, that's a little challenging. So what I will ask you in class and what I'll ask you today is, don't get caught up on a number. Get caught up with, this is where I'm comfortable, right here. This is where I'm comfortable. Are you willing to take just that one step further that says, just get out of your comfort zone. Don't push so far that you set yourself up to fail if you have that kind of notion like I did, and you end up totaling your car. You can take as big of a step as you want, but I have found it helpful to take this step, and then when you go, oh, I got this, then you take another one, and you go, oh, this stuff really works. I can go now here, because I know this really works. Right? That's how it is. So I love the International Children's Bible. Fits me. And it just says, honor the Lord by giving a part of your wealth. Give him the first fruits, the barns will be full, and the barrels will be overflowing with wine. But the message is always the interesting one. Good friend, don't forget all that I've taught you. Take heart my commands. This will help you live a long, long time, a long life lived full and well. Don't lose your grip on love and loyalty. Tie them around your neck, carve the initials in your heart. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Do not try to figure out everything on your own. Now, if you're like me, seriously? Control? But do not try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. For me, when I listen to that still small voice, even if it asks me to do or gives me the opportunity to do something that makes me go, God smokes crack, I didn't know that. Sorry. Bad Sue, bad Sue, bad, bad Sue. Inside voice, outside voice should not always be the same. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Give him first and best, and the dams will burst, and the vats will overflow. So for me, that's a lot of times in the Bible, and there's a talk about seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all else will be added unto you. Listen to that still small voice. Now, the great news about this philosophy is you get to go, that didn't work so well for me, so I'll try again. There is always, always a new choice. So in Malachi, he talks about opening up the windows of heaven. And I love this because he says, test me. Most spiritual teachers, somewhere in their teaching, will say, test me, prove it, get on with it, don't just believe me, because I said it, prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it, go out, try it, do it, see how it works. Ernest Holmes said that all the time. So bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord, if I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not enough room to receive it. Right? Not enough room to receive it. And then, and for me, that's an amazing thing, because in the message, he talks about being blessed beyond your wildest dreams. And in Luke, there's a couple of things. Luke is just a really amazing little chunk of Bible verses just in Luke 6. Love your enemies, turn the other cheek, be merciful, judge not lest you be judged. The story of the blind leading the blind. It's a very action-packed chapter. And then the part about why are you worrying about the sawdust in your eye when there's, you know, a huge sliver in the other one? It's putting your focus where it needs to be. So in this version, he says, and I'm just going to read you the message. Here's the simple truth, the rule of thumb for your behavior. Ask yourself what you want ask yourself what you want people to do for you. Then grab the initiative and do it for them. If you only love the lovable, do not expect a pat on the back. That's what Tracy's reading was about. Don't just love the lovable. We can all do that, right? There's a meditation called loving kindness meditation, and one of the first things you do is you bring to mind someone you love and you extend love to them. That's easy. It's learning to extend love to people that seem at that moment unlovable. Let's see. I tell you, love your enemies. Help and give without expecting in return. You'll never, I promise, regret it. Live out this God-created identity the way our Father lives toward us, generously and graciously, even when we're at our worst. Our Father is kind. You be kind. Don't pick on people and jump on their failures, criticize their faults. It's hard for, I think we're kind of hardwired to judge, according to the brain people, but try not to do that. Be easy on people, you'll find your life is easier. Give away your life and you'll find that your life is given back. Not merely given back, but given back with bonus and blessings. Given back with bonus and blessings. Given back with bonus and blessings. The whole process of looking at abundance is about being a giver to life. It's give and you shall receive, not receive, and then I'll calculate whether or not I'm going to give. It's the other way around. The law of circulation starts with giving. Give, receive, not receive, give. That's an important distinction. And giving without a hook is even more important. You know what I mean by that, giving with a hook? Giving with a hook is when you expect something in return. I will help you, but I have a little cheat here that says, I help John. My expectation is John should help me back. And he would, but that's not the point. The point is give without expectation and allow the universe to determine how the good comes back to you. Because I promise you, it will always be better than if I say, I gave to Tracy, and so I'm going to calculate how much she can give me to determine that. Always better when we allow it to happen. But the whole Keys to the Kingdom uses the big Bible chunk about Luke 12, where he's talking in the New International Version, it's entitled, Don't Worry. In the Message, it's steep yourself in God reality. Steep yourself in God reality. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I think it's probably on the back of the flyer, but it's this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or about your body or what you will wear. For life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not reap or sow. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Now, I'm a worrier. I'm a ruminator. You know, ruminating cows eat and then they go away and they sit down and they eat. They chew your cud. They just ruminate on their food. Goes down, comes back up, chew it some more, down, back up, chew it some more. We don't have to do that. It doesn't add anything to our life. And he talks about the lilies and how they grow, just like the tree that hangs out off the edge of the cliff. That nature is, by definition, abundant. And at the end, he says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will never wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's what this is about, really understanding where our treasure is and what we want. So I'm going to give you a couple quick quotes about from one of my favorite little Emmett Fox books. It's called The Mental Equivalent. You can, I don't know whether we have it here, even if we don't, you can get it online for free. Just type in The Mental Equivalent, Emmett Fox, and it's downloadable. And he and Ernest Holmes talk in pretty much everything. We demonstrate what we habitually have in mind. Not that thought that fleets through, that's, I just want to smack that person as they drive by you. That's not necessarily the thought that's going to manifest, you're going to be made manifest on, unless it's the kind of thought you habitually have in mind. Ernest Holmes talks about an atmosphere of thought, that we live in an atmosphere of thought. And he says, every person, everything has a certain mental atmosphere of its own. This atmosphere decides what to be drawn to it. So we have to watch our thoughts, but we have to watch the collection of our thoughts, the atmosphere that we dwell in. Every person is surrounded by a thought atmosphere. This mental atmosphere is the direct result of his conscious and unconscious thought. And again, that goes back to Troward then, right? Conscious and unconscious thought. It's about constantly saying, can I up level to be awake and aware? Through this power, we are either attracting or repelling. Like attracts like, and it is also true that we may become attracted to something which is greater than our previous experience by first embodying that atmosphere of our desire. Emmett Fox says, I want to say that for anything you want in life, a healthy body, a satisfactory vocation, friends, opportunities, all of the, and above all, the understanding of God, you must first furnish a mental equivalent. Supply yourself with a mental equivalent, and the thing must come to you. Let me say that again. The thing must come to you. Without a mental equivalent, it cannot come. And so what we're going to do today here in just a little bit is we're going to build the mental equivalent for this upcoming year. And it's not a one-shot deal. It's something that we have to kind of steep in like a teabag. It's something we have to continue to work with, to keep in the forefront of our consciousness. Because higher thoughts heal and override lower thoughts. Every new thought person and most spiritual teachers at some level or another talk about that. Higher thoughts raise lower thoughts. So I'm going to talk about two of the seven keys, and then we're going to do an exercise. The first key is commitment. Now, commitment is required for everything. Absolutely everything. You have to make a commitment to focus creative energy. It is the commitment that gets us past the difficulties that might otherwise, all those old beliefs that are ours to let go of, to come up for review and healing. So are you willing to make a commitment to embody a consciousness that is abundant? To make a commitment to dwell in the infinite, thinking and aligning your goals, your intentions, with that essence of the divine. Because that's what makes it happen. So I have to go back to my quote, my favorite commitment quote, Scarlett O'Hara. The world's longest movie, the world's most boring movie, in my opinion. Some people love it. It is, for me, painful. But the last scene in Act One is the best scene ever in movie history, in my opinion. And that is Atlanta is burning, the Tara has been burned to a ground, they have no food, they have nothing, everything's been swept away. She stumbles out into the yard, she's hungry, she drops, you can see Atlanta burning in the background, she drops to her knees and finds an old, like, not that didn't look like a carrot, like maybe a turnip, that's the word I'm looking for. And she picks it up, she starts to eat it, and then she stops. And that's when she says, to me, the best line ever, as God is my witness, they are not going to lick me. I am going to live through this, and when it's all over, I'll never be hungry again. No, nor any of my folk. If I have to lie, steal, cheat, or kill, as God is my witness, I'll never be hungry again. Now, I don't recommend killing, lying, and stealing, but you get the point, right? She's like, I don't care what it takes. Back the bus up. I am going in this direction. I will never be hungry again. That's the kind of juice on a commitment that I'm talking about. Are you willing to say, I know that there may be some difficulties, but as I lift up and try to raise my consciousness, but I'm sticking to it. That's probably, in my opinion, the most important thing. So let me give you one about that then. There's a misconception about commitment. And that is, if I make a commitment, I can never choose again. You can always choose again. You simply have to do it consciously, right? If you make a commitment to do this, and you're going along, and you're working on things, and it just is, you really come to the fact that I thought this was a good idea. I thought I could do this. I am just in every way, shape, form, and manner in me knowing that I need to renegotiate this commitment. I need to make a new commitment. The key is that you make it conscious, awake, and aware, because if we make a commitment and we turn our back on it, it is painful. It is painful. We need to be able to leave a choice cleanly. If we don't leave a choice cleanly, it comes out ugly. It comes out sideways. We get in arguments. We blame. We do all kinds of awful things. Make a clean choice. A clean choice for the commitment you want. And if you realize you need to choose again, do so cleanly. Yes. Conscious, awake, aware. Yes. That is the most important thing. So commitment gives us the ability to know that we will indeed manifest our intentions. So there's some questions to ask yourself about commitment. Are you truly committed to realize the presence of God in my life rather than just thinking about what I can accrue? do I realize that there is a power within me that wants to express through me? And is this my first priority? Am I willing to do the work? Am I willing to do the spiritual work? Am I willing to take the time to read, to pray, to meditate, to take class, whatever it may be? Am I willing to give this my time? To me, that's an important one because it is not a one-shot deal. Am I willing to prove my trust in God by stepping out and not just thinking maybe someday I'll get around to this, but I choose now? Am I ready to believe that my own inner awareness of God can completely, and let me say that again, can completely alter my life? The more we are aware of that inner God that dwells in us all, it will completely change your life. I promise you that, and I don't make a whole lot of promises, but I promise you that. And the second key is vision. And so you have before you, I had to go steal Cheryl's because I printed 200 of them and didn't bring one up here for myself. So we're going to go through this process of building a vision. But the vision is that none of us can rise higher than the vision we hold. That's the mental equivalent. So Emmett Fox says, you build the mental equivalence by thinking quietly, constantly and persistently of the kind of thing you want, and by thinking that has two qualities, clearness or definitiveness and interest. Clarity of thought and warmth of feeling, the knowledge and the feeling. 99 times in 100, the reason why metaphysical students do not demonstrate is their lack of feeling in their treatments. Sometimes I think somebody else's good idea for me is what I should have. When it doesn't happen, that's almost always the case with me. So to think clearly with feeling leads to demonstration because you have built a mental equivalent. And this is true in every area of your life. What we're going to do here shortly is work on building a mental equivalent for every area of your life because there is abundance of everything in every area of life if we open to those conscious, awake, aware choices. So the questions are things like this. Can I see myself enjoying God's lavish abundance in every area of my life? Can you see that? In every area. Most of us do with some, but like I said, not all. This is being willing to see it in every area. Do I feel deserving and grateful for my inner potential? Are you willing to claim it and know that you deserve it? When you turn within, can you see it and feel it as you grow the vision? What is my own personal highest possibility? And what does the universe want to do through you? That's a question I ask myself often in my meditations. What does the universe want to do as me? Because what it wants to do as me, y'all should say, thank you, God, it doesn't necessarily want to do through you. Yeah. Right? Each of us have our own infinite potential within us that God is calling us. And are you willing to ask the universe, show me the person I was meant to be? Show me the person I was meant to be. And can you own that? Am I listening to inner guidance to lead me through to the realization of my higher vision? This isn't something that we necessarily create. This is something that I'm asking you to open up and let God create through you. Am I willing to devote the time to hold the vision for my life? That's the question I'm going to ask you today. Now, you'll see on here, the rest of the keys are there. And we'll talk about them each week in class. But we're going to do a meditation now, and I'm going to ask you to look briefly at each of these areas of your life. And just briefly, this is something I'm going to want you to take home, chew on, stew on, really let it bubble up. This is an ooey gooey kind of a thing. It needs to be so rich, so juicy, so alive that when you think about it, you think, damn, I want that, right? I want that. That there's a joy and an excitement and an enthusiasm. You know, when I was taught treatment, you always ended them, it was a little rote thing that you said. You release it with excitement, enthusiasm, and expectancy of good, good, and more good. And that's what I'm talking about, that excitement, enthusiasm, and expectancy. Are you ready? All right, so just take a deep breath and allow yourself to go within, to tap into the wisdom of the divine, to open to the glorious process of getting the answer to that question of who am I meant to be? How am I meant to show up in the world? And begin by opening and saying, am I willing in this moment, right now, to suspend my disbelief that certain things aren't possible? Am I willing to just open and allow that beautiful vision of that greater you to flow forward? And I'll ask you to look at your health, your body, your wellness, physical, mental, emotional, all of your well-being. And look at the qualities of God that exist in that sense of well-being. Because really what we're doing is calling forth qualities of God, like balance, harmony, wholeness, beauty, vitality, peace. Imagine vitality, the vitality of God vibrating in your body and shifting every single cell. That vitality of God coursing through your mind. But it's also rest and relaxation to just allow yourself to let go. And take a moment and just allow yourself to put a few words down about what you would like to see in your sense of well-being this year. And if there's a thought about why you couldn't have that, you can give it a little scribble on the side, because we're going to deal with that too. And take this home today and keep working on it. How much good could you allow your body, your health, your well-being to enter in? And now allow the concept of your finances, your material well-being that exists throughout your life. For us, that's an area where many of us, we think we have to figure out where it's going to come from. Open to the notion that my good comes to me through sources known and unknown, that I absolutely do not have to control the how, I simply have to say what. What qualities of God do you want to express in the material good in your life? Abundance, freedom, ease, order, givingness, expansion, growth, gratitude. Most of us attach a sense of freedom to the material good in our life. The truth is that freedom is an inside job, and the material good follows when we know that and we choose that. Give yourself a moment to think about how you'd like that to look next year or this year. Your finances, your possessions, your home, your space, your resources, the sustainability of your life. To be free from worry, to know that you are worthy of all that good and so much more. And then look and say, I am worthy of that and so much more. We have a tendency to tie worthiness, especially about finances and good, material good. Now look at your relationships, not just a mate, but every relationship you have, whether it's a significant other, a coworker, a neighbor, the person at the gas station, the grocery store clerk, the person driving down the street. What kind of relationships do I want to have this year? How do I want to treat people? How do I want to be treated? Am I willing to be a giver to life, a giving of love and harmony? The qualities of God are things like wisdom and clarity and understanding, acceptance, wholeness. Can I see the wholeness in me and in everyone else? When I see the common humanity, it is so much easier to know that we really are more alike than we are different, even when the differences seem overwhelming sometimes. Claim what you want, and then turn to your sense of livelihood or your lifestyle, creative self-expression. The qualities of God are creativity, joy, love, freedom, givingness, confidence, abundance. Confidence to do what God has called you to do. How do you want life to look for you this year with your creative self-expression and your lifestyle? And add to that creativity and learning. Are you willing to devote some of your life to learning? Expanding your awareness, your wisdom, your clarity. Are you willing to be open? Are you willing to be open? Are you willing to allow a sense of wonder into your life? And that leads us to essence and spirituality. That's your spiritual growth. It's the concepts of unity, wholeness, self-love, joy, confidence, awareness, wisdom, power. Power. Be aware of that. Power is in our essence and our spirituality. How do you want that to show up in your life? And then what are you willing to give back? How do we want to see the world this year? What gift will we give? What vision will we hold for that higher good? Allow yourself to just steep in all of that. When you go home today, over a period of time, work on those things. And when you're ready, we'll just say, with a sense of excitement, enthusiasm, and expectancy, we say yes. So it is. So Happy New Year, everyone. That is as much as I'm going to say for today, at least on this. And then I will tell you, there's always a little something. So this year, I kind of went crazy because this is my third year. So as we go through the giving affirmation, we will also have some. So Fish, I think, is going to help me, and Kathy and Cheryl. I have a gift for you, and I want you to work on the paperwork that I gave you. And then as we go through the offering, one will be giving in and one will be taking out, just like the law of giving and receiving. And what's in here in each little baggie, because there's so many strings that I didn't want them to get caught up. So you'll have a key of various sizes, shapes, designs, and then each one of those areas that allow you to then write on the back what some of those words are so that you have a visual memory. Awesome. And this one is about release. What old ideas that stand in my way that keep me from being able to have that? So those go on here. It's tiny, right? Good stuff. Just let go. So that's what's in these bags. Thank you, everyone. And what I'd like to do is to just have a moment, just a brief moment of prayer, to just say thank you, and then we will move on. So just take a deep breath and say thank you. Say thank you, God, for all the good in my life and so much more. I know that there is more coming to me, and I say yes. And so it is. Take it away, Clyde. And no, Bradford's first, sorry. Who am I? Where am I? How did I get here? I only come to church every Sunday, and I don't know the order. Sorry about that.